Hello, everybody. Welcome back to That's Wrestling. My name is Will Brazier, but joined to my right is a man that knows everything, then more, about wrestling, because he's a wrestler and a bloody good one at that. Please welcome Trent Seven. Trent, how are you?
Very good. Very good.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's how excited I am about this episode of the That's Wrestling podcast.
You're well
it's
rested?
It's starting to be part of me.
Yeah, is
I'm
it?
Starting to really, really enjoy doing this.
Was it an
you.
Organ or a
touch,
bone?
Touch me.
I have to remember to do. It didn't really
work
on audio.
You don't have to do
audio.
The whole thing. You can just touch my hand. Look.
We
can
just touch I just wanted to do it right.
And that's wrestling.
And that's a connection. And that's wrestling. It's been another bloody big week of bloody wrestling.
Yes.
It's like football. On and off the pitch, in and out of the ring. There's been stuff happening. But I wanted to start with a special moment as of recording. Last night, the arena was pumping. They were yeeting all over the place because Jey Uso, spoiler alert, is the Intercontinental Champion. Your immediate thoughts, Trent of Seven.
Rikishi got his... He got his son to the top.
Yeah.
No, he didn't. Jey Uso got himself to the top. Wonderful wrestler, wonderful bloke, and then as over as anyone can possibly be currently, specifically in WWE. He's incredibly famous. The yeet is incredibly famous. The bounce is incredibly famous. And his dad is incredibly famous. The whole combination is just culminating in,
you know,
a wonderful run for that young man.
Because it's been a 13-year wait for him to get a singles title, and that's no knock on his career because it's been absolutely fantastic as a tag team. But it's been sort of, you know, used against him in promos, in and out of the ring again. But what I wanted to speak to, he's broken away from a tag team, let alone his brother.
Mm.
But obviously you've been in a tag team, single success as well.
Realistically, very close to being brother.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he is a brother. Brother from another mother.
Correct.
Without the blood. That's
big of Jill.
But what is that like when you're going off on your own fortunes? And like, to be fair, if you'd have said 2 years ago, Jey Uso would be main event Jey Uso. Maybe 3 or 4 years ago now.
Okay.
But the transition's been unbelievable, hasn't it?
Yeah, and he's done it. And he's, like I say, he's super duper over. He's exciting. He's got... When he comes out, there's different elements to the act. You know, he's not just a former Uso. He's not just a former Bloodline guy. His gear is incredible now. I feel like the glasses and everything, the yeet, the music. The one that I think... Belgium, was it? No, Lille.
Lille, France.
What? Special night seeing the entrance with all the lights and everything like that for there.
The camera was
now,
shaking.
And then now it's, you know, luckily the American fans are really taking it on board. He's just smashing it. So, yeah, his first single title in how many years?
His first ever single title. He's been with WWE for 13 years.
I mean, he's won about 756 tag titles.
Yeah.
And so surely they're a very good tag team. But, yeah, here he is. And he's main event Jey Uso. And now he's got the Intercontinental title. Bron Breakker is a sad boy.
The dogs aren't barking anymore.
No.
One thing I wanted to touch on as well, because I think sometimes you get lulled into a false sense of security, especially with the way title runs are going at the moment in WWE. So I you know, naively put on the Raw recap this morning, got to the match, and I was like, which way is Bron Breakker going to do it? Is Jimmy going to come back for the 14th time and cost Jay another title match? And I think it just goes to show that I should never trust Triple H, but in the nicest way. Because if you've not got surprise and you've not got spontaneity, what is WWE?
Correct.
And I just think if anyone's moaning this morning going, oh, Bron Breakker only had the title for 51 days, have a look at yourself in the mirror, relax. Because if everyone's got to have a long title reign, we might as well just sit down with our hands underneath our arse and go, well, let's just wait for 3 years for Bron Breakker to hold it. We have to have this element of surprise,
you do.
Don't we?
Absolutely. I fully agree.
There's no point of just people waiting around for like, oh, he has to have it for that. He doesn't.
No one has to have a title for any period of time.
And Bron Breakker's going to have one of the best careers we ever see, not because he's lost the Intercontinental title after 51 days, so please just relax.
Yeah, he's a very young, very talented young man.
Yeah.
He's going to have many, many more runs. But this one came as a shock. It came out of left field. It was amazing. It's got great reactions online, and that's what wrestling's all about. It's creating moments and it's creating wonderful, wonderful moments for the fans and obviously wonderful moments for people like Jey Uso who deserve it.
Exactly, he does deserve it. A man that does deserve it and a man who has created many moments, Matt Cardona. Mm. There's been some very good cinematic packages across the...
Let's talk about his though, because yes, we can't get sidetracked.
No, let's start with him because we've got our WhatsApp group now. We must be becoming friends, the three of us. It's okay, don't get injured. He put together... would you call it a tease, a summary? Whatever it was, Matt Cardona's put a video out there. It's fantastic. Why is he so special to you?
I've had the joy of wrestling Matt Cardona.
What was that like?
Wonderful. Yeah, so I fought him in a Wolverhampton street fight.
Nice.
Exciting times on the dark streets of Wolverhampton. But we were obviously in a venue because very rarely do street fights actually go to the street.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Parking lot brawls.
Idea for the future. Yeah. Anyhow... my apologies for veering off there.
That's fine.
Yeah, and he's the man.
Yeah.
He really is the man. And I think the reason why he's so well respected professionally and obviously as a fan, from a fan's perspective, is the way he transitioned to the Indies from being the Intercontinental Champion at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Ditching the Zack Ryder, moving into the Matt Cardona era. And the way he... you know, a lot of people will finish with WWE, they'll be very, very rich, very, very famous, and they can just basically do whatever they want. If they get bored and they want to go and wrestle, they'll go and wrestle. If they get bored and they just want to kind of hang around with the other wrestlers, they'll probably do sign-ins and wrestle cons and all that kind of stuff. But this guy went out there and did GCW and did death matches and barbed wire and bled and wrote great, like, you know, helped like build great stories and put over other talent. So for me, he's right up there with, you know, the goats of the transfer phase goat.
Yeah, that's what coming outside of WWE.
Yeah, from what do you do after?
Repositioning.
What do you do after? Yeah,
because I think with that as well, he's probably
arguably
the one
he's
more
famous.
Yeah, I'd say, in terms of like, I'm a WWE faithful, but in terms of even I've been able to keep, like you said, like the way he's made storylines out of even just sometimes one shot matches and. You do really keep an eye on him, but
the
I think
indie god, the deathmatch king, like it just goes on. Like his marketing, his advertising is amazing. His merchandise is always really, really good, and you know he's a top guy, and it just bleeds through now to an independent level. So he's connecting with so many more people on such a direct level.
Yeah,
right.
And also, I think to add into what everything you just said, self awareness, because it would be so easy, like you said, to come away and be like, "Yes, I'm the WWE guy," but he must have known that there was more that he can give, and what he showed on WWE was not everything he could give as well.
Absolutely.
So to be like almost buy into a bit like probably what Pete Dunne's doing with the Butch stuff, which we'll come on to later, but like, you know, you've got so much to give. And you don't want to be labelled in that box, but use that as your fire and use that as your burning ambition to not just for yourself, but to portray as a storyline, isn't it? So when he's going to these different independents, you know, he's here to send a message.
Yeah. Look what you missed out on.
Yeah.
You know, look what you could have had. But doing it on this level is just... It's so much more endearing, I think, for the fans.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because they get to see it so much. And a completely
you're on the ride with
zone.
Him, aren't you?
Yeah. And like, do you know what I mean? Don't get me wrong. The guy's, you know, he does very, very well outside of the ring as well.
Yes. But that's all himself as well,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And once again, that's all self-built. So that allows him to, you know, have that time away from the ring to get everything right. And you look at this new package that he dropped the other day.
So with that...
A vignette.
What a lovely package.
What a promo.
Yeah. What do you think we should take from that? Is it is he off to pastures new or pastures old? What's he teasing? What's he doing? What do you know? Tell me the truth.
I'll tell you what I know.
Yeah.
And what I know is that if WWE and AEW aren't keeping him very, very tightly on a radar, then... you know, more for them maybe, because he draws great numbers. He's entertaining. His merchandise is banging. He's pretty much a total package of someone that you would want on your roster and TNA. And you know, we're very, very happy and very, very lucky to have him working at TNA at the moment, because you know the houses are up, and you know since he's come in, and you know there's a lot of different moving parts and you know different cogs in the machine to kind of get that working. But obviously, you know, he's definitely part of it. So yeah, Royal Rumble is only what, 3-4 months away? 4 months away now, right?
Yeah. Well, I think he's also like you
so
mentioned
there's
there.
Options there.
Yeah.
But yeah, sorry to cut you off there, but
no.
From what I know is, you know, the amount of fun he has
yes.
at the moment, is that comparable to the amount of fun he might not be able to have at a major company where he doesn't have full control over his career? Full control over the content he puts out, the merchandise he puts out, the way he wrestles, who he wants to wrestle, and what is the difference in cost worth? Do you know what I mean? If you're earning X amount of money but you have entire freedom, what is the amount of money that you have to give that up for to then maybe go and work under someone or under a writing team where you're still, I mean, the WWE is at its absolute peak creatively.
And it's a different beast,
and AEW, like I say, anything can happen, right? But once again, he's proved how good he is at building and forging his own kind of story. So that's the way up. I see it as that. I see that's the way up is do how much is this freedom worth to kind of do, you know, take it away a little bit.
And I think that, like, we're going to get into people who have gone away and sort of repackaged themselves and made the most of it. But the big one for me is probably pre Cody Rhodes going away from WWE. There was always the sort of talk in the future he would be a WWE champion, but it took him to go to the Indies, do everything that he did, build another company, which is always helps. But now
it's a feather in the cap.
But coming
isn't
it? Back and be considered straight away in that World Heavyweight Championship picture by fighting Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
I think the big question would be because people's, and you know, some people just watch WWE, some people don't even go on social media, so they might not be aware of Matt Cardona's work. Would he come back and be in that World Heavyweight Championship picture? Like, is there a world that we live in where he comes back and is at top of the card? Because it has happened in the past. Drew, Cody.
Yeah.
I can go on.
I feel like they're different animals.
Yeah.
I feel like Cody and Drew and Matt Cardona are different animals. And I still think there's maybe a difference in Cardona to these two. I think there's so much focus on Cody wanting to change things and change the industry. And he very much was a very integral part of it.
Yeah.
And his payback now is coming with, you know, so strangely from the other side. Whereas with Drew, he's just a phenom.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He's a phenom as a person. He's a phenomenal character, human, like,
Beast
of a character and of a talent that you want. So when he dropped down to the Indies and he was the indie taker and he was just having these just 20, 30 minutes all over the place. He wrestled Tyler Bate once.
Really?
I believe it might have been Shropshire Wrestling Alliance or something like
Shropshire.
That. In front of about 150, 200 people. Wow.
And that's why you should always go to your Indies this weekend, next weekend.
Absolutely why you should support the Indies, because not only is it just the future of professional wrestling or the future of NXT or the future of Ring of Honor or the future of TNA, it also is the big names that come back to kind of drop back in and help build and boost the scene a little bit
exactly.
as well.
Where
were I?
I was just going to say, we've sort of flirted with...
Yeah, so more so, what's he going to do when he comes back? If he comes back, I don't know. I feel like maybe that World Heavyweight Championship is a more ascertainable goal than the Cody Rhodes one.
The one on Raw?
Yeah, because I feel like that's the one where he can kind of come back in and be like, I am a better wrestler. You know what I mean?
It's
more so that I don't want to say the workhorsey type belt.
No, but that's what it is.
So like, I feel like that angle is even nicer because it's another feather in the cap. It's like, come on, I'll outdo you or I'll outdo these people. But then again, you know, his next 6 months could be so incredibly popular and famous and massive at TNA or whatever that he just somehow gets bigger and somehow gets more famous that he just goes, right, that's it, I'm coming back for Cody. You did it, you went away, yeah. I went away, I'm after your spot, son.
Exactly. We've sort of mentioned those three names there and get involved in the comments as well because you'll have yours, but with those three in mind, who do you think has repositioned himself best, ranking them from third to first?
Oh, out of those three?
Yeah. So, I mean, this is the social clip. So.
Oh, there of God. Okay. I feel like we have to, the problem is, if I approach it personally,
it becomes personal.
Do I do it as who I've wrestled against?
You also don't have to do it.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I'm going to do it as. I'm going to do it as an overlooking,
yeah.
Like, how much has
these
people been benefit. What's the word?
They're all winners, but who's the biggest winner?
Good Lord. Okay. Cody Rhodes.
Number one?
Yeah. Cody Rhodes has the WWE Championship.
Yeah.
He is the most.
But when we got in the room, not to throw you under the bus, you did say that Matt Cardona was your favourite at the moment. But,
yeah, so... So from a wrestling perspective, what he's done...
Why do you hate Cody Rhodes? No,
what he's done from the work that he's done on the indies, and, you know, yes, obviously it's to make money and have a great time and do cool stuff, but I think what he's given the indies and where he has helped build the indies over the course of the last few years since coming, I think that's a paramount kind of... He's given us a gift.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? By being that fun. With Cody Rhodes, obviously he gave us the greatest gift ever.
Yeah.
Competition. He helped give us the greatest gift, you know, as wrestlers, as wrestling fans, as, well, even if you're the owner of said wrestling company, competition is what you need. And he played a massive, massive part in creating competition.
Yeah.
Which would, none of wrestling would be here now if it wasn't for AEW being the competition and pushing the, you know, pushing the boundaries. And then you got Drew, who's just a phenom. Like, the matches that he had on the indies were incredible. The level of effort he put in on the indies, like going back to like the ICW and like paying it back there, you know, and then his return. There's probably no other wrestler. Oh God, it's so hard. Because the wrestler that he left as compared to the wrestler he came back as,
yeah,
wow, night and day.
And that's so basic.
Night and day.
In terms of...
And similar kind of like outlook, like similar visually.
Yeah.
But the attitude and the approach towards professional wrestling was so different, and he was a killer.
Yeah.
He just came back and he's like, nah, man, I've got to take what's mine.
And the physical transformation as well, like, which wasn't, like you said, it wasn't mega, but like it was almost subtle, but so... Subtle, it just looked completely different.
Yeah, he's a phenom. That's what he is. Yeah. For me, he's the phenom. He's the indie phenom. He's a bar setter. That's what he is.
Everyone's doing well, aren't they?
God, you know what? Wrestling's bloody good, isn't it?
But do you take bits?
It is, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but like you've come away from
10 hours.
Yeah, well, I do.
Yeah,
on my own. Into the mirror. I'm very sad.
Okay.
But you've come away from WWE. Obviously, you're with TNA now. Like, do you take elements of that where you'd be like, right, this is what I want to do next. This is like my next step over here, and take elements of that?
Because 100%.
You're always changing, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose that's what it is, isn't it? There is that. One of the best people for that is probably Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
That constant evolution of like, you're the same person, but you just tiny little nuances here, a new little catchphrase here, a new little thing here, a new little thing here. For me, he's probably the best of all time at kind of maximizing and switching and changing and intertwining all these stories together, and then it all comes back to a line time and thinking, do you know what I mean? But there's he's incredible at it, but those things keep you on your toes as a performer.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That the fans still only see you maybe once a week,
yeah,
at the most, right? So it's not like you shove down their throats as a live performer, but obviously the internet is. You can just watch. If you watched 10 of anyone's matches back to back to back, you look kind of worked it out.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? So as far as professional wrestling goes, you know, you're still out there doing it yourself. So sometimes you'll feel like, oh, man, am I kind of going through the motions? Do I need to change up my gear? Do I need to get a little cooler entrance music? There's probably 10 countries in Europe that haven't even seen me wrestle yet.
Yeah.
There's 10 cities or towns or states in America that haven't seen Cody Rhodes wrestle this year live. That when you go and see these wrestlers and you go to go and see WWE and TNA and AEW, you want to see the act.
Yeah,
it's like I always say, like, if you went to watch Triple H and he didn't do the water spit, your heart would break. But what if he just went, oh God, I'm just tired of doing the water spit.
Yeah.
I might change it.
It was like when I went to see
probably
James.
Probably the worst thing that ever happened to your career.
I went to see James at Glastonbury. They didn't do sit down.
What?
Yeah. Fucking mental.
That's mad.
Yeah. I mean, literally just play the song.
What?
Yeah, I know.
Not even like as a, see you later, lads.
No. They went, this is our last song. And they went, it wasn't a new one, but it might as well have been.
They might as well have sang Old MacDonald Had a Farm.
Exactly.
It would have been more impressive than not playing there.
I felt like a pig.
Anyway, yeah. So that's so sad.
I know, yeah. Yeah, no, I did was bad.
Anyway, so yeah, that constant little new inventions, I think, yeah, like Joko, to give him all the credit, that's he's really, really good at that. It's not always a massive makeover. It's just a nice little transition into something else or another angle. And that, if anything, as a wrestler, that's kind of like the stuff that I take from is like maybe a new clothes or maybe a new move or maybe something like that. Because there's just so many people that haven't had the opportunity to see you live, and you got to be excited about doing your own act, right?
Speaking of acts, there's plenty of them, and contracts are coming up. It literally feels like the summer transfer window in football at the moment.
It really does.
You go in online, and that speaks for the competition of the companies, because, you know, without that, you don't have this exciting debate, do you? So,
exactly.
Certain tag teams from TNA, certain tag teams from AEW, people from WWE. There's a merry-go-round of people. What do you know? You're the David Ornstein Fabrizio Romano right now, sat right here.
Yeah, who are they?
They're big transfer football journalists.
Oh, great.
So you basically need a catchphrase, like in football we have Fabrizio goes, "Here we go," and that means that's done deal. So Trent's transfers, you need a three-word catchphrase that you need to come up with right now on the spot. So...
Sign me up.
Nice. Really good.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Sign me up. That means it's a done deal.
This guy says, sign me up.
What have you heard?
So, the transfer news is wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Over to you, Trent.
Today on the show, we have Pentagon and Rey Fenix.
Yeah. WWE.
I hope so. That's what it says.
Done deal.
Yeah, I mean,
no, you don't say that's what it is. You're the source now. You've had sources.
Oh yeah, sorry. My sources have told me.
Yeah,
but this is the thing, right? So, not to break any hearts, but the dirt sheets, they're just the dirt sheets, aren't they?
And well, I don't know,
because all of the stuff, you know, it's exciting, you know, but have they signed? I don't know. I don't know if they've physically signed them up.
Yeah.
Yet, right? I don't know if they've signed them up yet. But it does look like it. Okay, just kind of like viewing the little bit of socials that I kind of go on. It looks like they're going to be very, very happy there, I think. People are talking about them going straight to the main roster, and so they should. Because at the end of the day, everyone goes to the main roster, and they still kind of run in and do a little bit of NXT if they need them.
It just depends
what kind of level you go in.
Because in football, so as you just keep jumping on this analogy, obviously if players want to move, sometimes that they use their agents to sort of maybe force that. Within wrestling, correct me if I'm wrong, you don't really have a wrestling agent. Do you have a wrestling agent?
I don't have an agent personally yet.
Is there a wrestling agent?
But wrestling agents exist, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
But would they be like an entertainment?
Not necessarily wrestling agents. They're just your agents. Yeah, but they just specialise potentially in professional wrestling. And there's some wonderful agents out there that look after, there's a lot of money that gets thrown around at the top end.
Yeah.
You can't just walk into a room and go, yeah, do you want me to just wear some underpants for you? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
But in terms
can't
of...
can't just do that.
But when you...
But there's some big money players in this game now.
Yeah, but when your contract's coming up and you're like, at one company, you want to go to another, are these agents maybe going, oh, did you know we've only got 6 weeks left there?
I'd imagine so.
Yeah?
I'd imagine so. I'd imagine most contracts are kind of based around like, you know, just work with this company and focus on this company until this date.
Yeah.
Right? That's pretty much how it works with everything, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you don't really want to go fishing around towards the end. So that's, I suppose people use an agent as a kind of like a third party to kind of like dip the toe in and see what's out there. And, you know, with professional wrestling being such an incredibly massive and wide open business as far as where you can work and where you can make money or where you can be seen on TV. It just creates, once again, it's just really, really good competition, and it's exciting. And it's like you said, it's like the January transfer window, of which, I said, over the next 3 months as we close the year off, I imagine a lot of contracts are done annually. But then I used to think all contracts in the world were obviously done after WrestleMania. Yeah. So when I was a kid, everyone just signs up after WrestleMania or gets fired after WrestleMania. Yeah. Which it kind of used to be. There was always...
Was there like the two windows, wasn't there?
Yeah, there's always... there still is, I suppose, but, you know, it's still an ever-revolving kind of door. But, there was always kind of like a bit of a cull after WrestleMania. So, and that, I wasn't in a post-WrestleMania cull, so to speak, but I can't imagine... If you are on the precipice of being on WrestleMania, And then a month later, you get released.
Yeah.
That is some dark times.
Them's the breaks.
But that's the entertainment industry, yes. Eh?
But
one day, you're rolling high, and one day, you're rolling on the floor crying.
And then you're back up again.
But then you're back up again, because without the troughs, there are no peaks.
Peaks and troughs.
Yeah.
But no, it's just a very exciting time, isn't it? And obviously... Stablemates and TNA might be going
Motor
over.
Motor City Machine Guns.
How just on
sign me up?
Really done deal?
I think so.
Yeah,
I hope so.
Yeah,
well, yeah.
Because they've been around for so long.
They deserve so much, man.
And do you think that's a good place for them?
I'd love to. And in no way am I trying to forge any kind of change to any financial agreements that they have.
Yeah,
because obviously it'd be way better for them if they go straight to SmackDown or Raw. But I'd also like them to be quite heavily involved with NXT.
Yes.
So I say send him in at the top and have him kind of helping out in the back, because those two guys, they're like wrestling savants.
Really?
Oh my God. They're so good. So, so good. So knowledgeable. They've been around for so long. They're still so young wrestling-wise. Like, they still move incredibly well.
Yeah.
They have such a wealth of knowledge to share and give as well. And they're just so good to be in the locker room with. It is a real, real pleasure. I never actually got the chance to
you and Speedball
physically
didn't
wrestle them, no. So
I heard it because they were scared.
Well, probably. If I was wrestling Speedball, I'd be scared.
No, I'd be scared.
He's a ferocious man, but he's the best. Recently won his X Division Championship back.
Yeah, great to see.
Congratulations. Where are you? There you are. Congratulations, Speedy. Good on you. Commiserations, Zachary Wentz. Yeah, what were we talking about? Tag teams. I really wanted to wrestle Machine Guns, man.
Yeah.
But, you know, it might happen down the line.
Exactly. Never
That's wrestling,
never.
Right? Yeah. That is wrestling. Yeah, never say never. I hope to God one day we do somehow get the chance to do this in many of the multiverses that do exist in professional wrestling.
Oh, and also, sorry, just to round up the Trent transfer news, Joe Hendry put out a picture with...
Terry Taylor
saying thanks for everything at the Performance Center. Got fans' tails a wagging, saying, is this guy done with WWE? Is he going to come back?
I'm pretty sure.
What have you heard, Trent?
Bear with me.
What have you heard, Trent?
It's not a direct sign me up.
No.
No. I think it's a...
See you later.
It's a play in waiting. That's what I think. I think they've got their fill. They've had their tickle. They've warmed their hands over the Joe Hendry fire. And they like it.
Mm.
That's what I think.
I mean, there would be nothing better than a Royal Rumble.
Say his name.
Oh, I'll be saying it.
Wouldn't he? He'd be so happy as well. What a payday. So on top of that, just to go back to the picture itself, Terry Taylor's the man.
Is he?
Yeah. Knowledge. And I remember when we first got to the Performance Center, and we would have these conversations, and like he'd be like kind of berating us a little bit about the way we wrestle and the kind of the speed that we wrestle at, because obviously we're a little bit, the British style is a little bit slower at that point. And like, Christ, man, he's on our case, he is.
Yeah.
What's going on with this geezer, man? He's really onto us. So, right, come on. So we went back to the house and we put on like old AWA or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And it was just peak Terry Taylor. Not Red Rooster, peak Terry Taylor. And we were like, oh,
that's
I get it. He's the man.
Yeah,
he's one of the most energetic and entertaining heels I've ever seen in wrestling.
Really?
God's honest truth, yeah. We watched him and we were laughing and crying, but the way he moved and the way he took that beat, the way he takes a beating, there's very few people as good as peak Terry Taylor. And then we went back the next day and we're like, okay, yeah, we've just got to move more.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got to be more, like, yeah, he's the man.
Love that.
Yeah.
What a guy.
My apologies.
Joe, no.
Let me finish it off.
I love it.
It's really nice that Joe got to work with someone of that stature.
Yeah.
Because Joe Hendry, the Joe Hendry that you get back after spending 6-7 weeks or whatever it is, or 8 weeks with Terry Taylor one-on-one,
yeah,
it's a different Joe Hendry.
I don't think it's the last time that we'll be saying his name.
I don't think there is.
Well, obviously TNA, I think he won the number one contenders match, I think.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, so... I mean, there might be gold on the horizon. Speaking of the horizon, Vegas. It's
edging ever nearer, isn't it?
It's WrestleMania is going to Vegas. I went to a WrestleMania once in Los Angeles. Oh. And it was really good.
Was it that Hollywood one?
It was very recently. Emotional because I never thought I'd ever get to go. And oh. It was the best thing I've ever done until now. No.
Correct.
40 was amazing.
Yeah.
And 41 feels like it could be the best ever. I think 41 could be better than 17. There, I said it. Shove that up your pants.
Up my pants.
Up your pants, yeah. And down. And leave your hands in the middle. But Vegas. So the tickets are on sale.
Bold statement, that is, you know.
What?
WrestleMania 17. You know what you just said out loud?
I know, yeah.
The other people heard you say that.
I think we could be going to a stage where... Obviously, you've got two nights, but I think it's normally Sunday sort of peaks it just because it's...
Yeah, well, it's the last one.
Yeah, right? It's led that way. And like even the card now that we could cook up in our heads, Cody versus The Rock.
Yeah.
John Cena versus Gunther.
Is it Cody Rock or is it Roman Reigns Rock?
That's what I mean.
I think it's Roman. I think it's Roman Rock.
We've got possibilities.
It's Roman Rock.
But Rock's there to stay
now.
I'll
call it.
42 could be Roman Rock.
Nah. Pull the trigger.
Really?
Yeah, anything could happen. He's too famous. Don't get me wrong, he looks younger than all of us in this room, including Niall, who's only 12.
Cal Seaman, apparently.
He's not 12. That'd be slave labour. Yeah, take that out.
He's not. But what I was going to say, Vegas tickets on sale, but WWE, I coined a phrase off there that WrestleMania is the Glastonbury of wrestling because, and I need education on this, I'm closed off. Four nights of wrestling, Raw, SmackDown, two WrestleManias. Wake up, Will. There's more out there. Smell the roses.
Oh, my God.
And you'll be wrestling.
I will introduce you to a thing called WrestleCon.
WrestleCon. But how important...
Well, I will introduce you to it. Who knows what I'll be doing?
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's a long time away.
Exactly. But how important is WrestleMania for wrestlers that aren't in WWE?
It's huge. It is not only the showcase of the immortals and the grandest stage of them all, cities and towns, cities will bid for WrestleMania now.
Isn't it?
It's crazy.
It's the Olympics.
It is. It's a huge, huge, huge night. It's the biggest night in the industry currently. And, you know, it's a massive, massive night for the town or the city that it's in. Vegas is very different, I think, because every night is massive in Vegas. It's wild. Have you ever been?
No, I want to.
It's a wild place.
Want to. I'd like to go and experience wrestling. Is there anything that's coming up that I could
never
scratch
sleeps.
That itch?
What, in Vegas right now?
Yeah, no, going forward.
Oh, yeah. WrestleCon.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, so there's conventions, there's meet and greets, there's wrestling all the time, there's every company from anywhere near would be and could be coming over and having guest matches on shows. And you've got things like WrestleCon is normally the biggest one. I believe there's some others as well. So you'll just have like companies coming over like Progress and Rev Pro and people like that have always like done stuff. And we did stuff with Fight Club. And it's just very, very exciting, exciting time to be a wrestling fan and to be a wrestler. There's a lot of money to be made. Not only just as the WWE fans are flocking to the strip and to the hotels and to the casinos, but there's a lot of money to be made for wrestlers. It's a great place to get yourself out there, your merchandise out there. Normally between 500 to 1,000 people at every single indie show, even sometimes a little bit more.
Yeah.
So, man, it's just exciting. You'll see so many wrestlers. Sometimes it's a little bit much. In no way is this just because he is my partner in tag team wrestling, but there is no wrestler, I don't think, that wrestles any more on those weekends than Speedball.
Really?
Yeah, so I believe someone else will quote me, I imagine, or he will obviously pop up on here and say how many it was. But over the last two or three years, I think he's done something like 8 matches in 3 days.
Fuck me.
Yeah, he does like 8 matches in 3 or 4 days.
And he ain't going half-hearted, is he?
Oh, my God. He's a freak. He's an alien. He's the best.
Well, that's... I wanted
so
to speak
that's
to
how much wrestling there is.
Yeah, and I wanted to speak to you about it because when I did WrestleMania in LA, I was seeing my best mate, so sort of like had a holiday around it. But I did feel a bit guilty because I was... It was my first one, so it was so WWE-focused. But there is just so much out there to see. So I think
the Ukrainian Center was banging that that weekend.
The which one?
The Ukrainian Centre, I think it's called.
Where's that?
GCW running.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so
where you were going. Yeah.
The Ukrainian Centre is the place where GCW run in Los Angeles.
But and also Vegas.
So that was pumping with speedball wrestling three, four times.
Oh, you're banging.
Yeah, you have Bloodsport. Have you heard of Bloodsport?
That's the one Dean Ambrose.
He
did.
Was, yeah, Dean Ambrose did.
Do they
do
not
it.
Have ring?
It's Josh Barnett's kind of like thing with GCW, and there's
is
no
he a
ropes.
Good man?
And yeah, he's a great bloke. UFC heavyweight champion.
Shayna Baszler did that.
I'll tell him whatever
that,
he wants
she?
To hear.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Josh Barnett is the greatest man that's ever lived.
But also, just thinking when you were speaking, the amount of wrestling companies there, WWE being there, I wonder if there'll be a TNA show. What
surely.
Do you know? Back to Trent News.
Didn't.
But that's surely
Trent
you'd
update.
Think.
Hey, okay, instead of a Trent update, because I genuinely don't know, I'll say a Trent prediction. Definitely do a Worlds Collide.
Yeah.
That's what should
yeah,
happen.
That'd be, yeah, that'd be very
Worlds
good.
Collide, TNA versus NXT. Let's go. Let's have some dream matches.
I'll need to get out
Let's
there.
Do it in a couple of thousand people stadium and just get really excited about life.
If we can, also, flight should be, when I went to LA, the flights were quite, because you're going to Vegas in March or April. Might have a little look. See, take
if you book him now.
Imagine Niall, like, who doesn't know wrestling, and taking him out to WrestleMania. Oh. It'd be like, fuck me, it'd be Attack of the Senses.
He'd have the best time.
Stick a GoPro on
sliced bread.
But then it might be, if it was me, it'd be like, you've seen that Irish couple, their son gave him a GoPro to Vegas, and he films the wrong way the whole time, but they put the video up, so it's just, look over there, Noel. You can see this here, just filming his face.
Great accent.
We're going up now to the thing.
And
he's really close to the camera, so that would be me in Vegas.
I like it.
Vegas would be. Got to pay your own way.
Also.
Yeah.
Raw and SmackDown.
Yes.
Trent Seven predictions will be in the Sphere.
Wow. Can you imagine?
I can't.
Because
I can, because I watched UFC.
You literally just said it.
So I've just watched it and I imagined it myself.
Did you enjoy UFC? And from what you know, from a wrestling perspective, what could be improved for a Raw and a SmackDown?
Arguably nothing. Okay. It's one of the most incredible visual spectacles of a live show I've ever seen in my life. In fact, maybe it is. Maybe it is actually the best live sporting event spectacular visually I've ever seen.
I've only seen clips of fans there bringing. How does it work from a TV perspective though? Of bringing in the Sphere, does it still work?
Yeah, I mean, you'd probably have like a central block set off for like a hard camera.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? With this,
like a 0.5 camera on your iPhone.
Yeah, exactly the same, basically. That's all they use, apparently. Like 28 years later or whatever.
But did you see that? They said, like, filming or not, and then they showed the fucking setup of it, and it was literally like, it was a guy on a rig, and it must have had about 84 different things on it.
Yeah.
Just an iPhone. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, so like, you'll have like a main shot, I imagine, that'll be kind of like zoomed in. It'll be from a slightly higher angle.
Yeah.
So you can get a little more of a wider pan, I imagine. But then obviously, WWE is 19, like, probably 80% roaming camera anyway these days.
Yeah. For about three, four minutes. I was watching SmackDown.
They're just way better.
Yeah, yeah.
They just get way more action.
No, I think that's a very good prediction as well. And also, what I was just going to tie up with, I think Vegas is probably better than LA from a selfish point because it's quite small in comparison to LA. Hotels are cheaper, and you can get round to more, couldn't you? So, yeah, I think we should maybe, once this podcast finishes, think how we can get there. Well, you'll be there, so.
Ow.
It's okay.
Smash my knee.
You won't be there. Oh, God, he's injured.
Yeah. Maybe we'll do some kind of competition.
For what?
An all expenses paid trip.
Yeah, well, I'll be winning that because that's all I want to happen. Yeah.
Anyway,
we've had one entrant in.
Whoever wins, we just change your name on the ticket.
Exactly. We'll do that for sure. No, I need to get out there.
It's going to be wonderful. We've got plenty of time to build this wonderful zone of That's Wrestling. And,
exactly. So if you could follow and drop five stars.
Follow. Meltzer us.
Exactly.
Can you give 6 stars?
You should be able to.
We didn't think he could, but he did.
Exactly. What I was going to say is we'll talk about it next week if we can, but we're filming on a Tuesday. Vince McMahon documentary is coming out Wednesday. I think we'll just react to that because we've seen the trailer.
Yep.
But maybe let's wait and see what's come out. He's released a statement saying your usual sort of stuff that you'd expect from someone like that about what he thinks the documentary's been portrayed. So it's going to be interesting. I hope all 6 episodes are out because if it's out at midnight tonight, I'm just going to stay up and do 6 hours. Of all of that.
That's long.
Yeah, that is long. Should we finish with Dunwatch?
Let's do it.
It's time for Dunwatch.
Hello and welcome to Dunwatch.
Yeah.
He's on fire.
He's on fire.
He took the necklace off last week, threw it on the ground, trod on it, said, "That's over, fella."
Yeah. See you later,
fella.
And he got a cricket bat back out.
The cricket bat's back.
Which I'd forgotten
about.
Bit
of Gray Nichols.
Yeah, Gray.
Drunk Duncan Fernley.
I used
Big
to like
shout
a,
out to the old sponsors there.
I used to like a Slazenger V600 Alex Stewart on the back
foot.
Yeah,
that's a great bat.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah,
I was a Gray Nichols man myself.
Were you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you look like that.
Yeah, Laura used a Gray Nichols, remember?
Really?
To hit the 501. I believe. I'm sure there's a cricket fan that's going to tell me I was wrong.
I thought that was
sure
a really
was a
good
Nichols.
To dig then. You know, like getting at people for what cricket bat you are. Oh, yeah, sure you were.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, you're Duncan Fernley.
Yeah, exactly.
You're number four.
You look like a Duncan Fernley.
20 average all
you're
season.
But yeah, Pete Dunne back firing with a cricket bat.
Watch.
Yeah, exactly. Something I could only. I used to pray for times like these as Drew McIntyre.
And they're coming.
Yeah.
We've manifested it.
Exactly.
You manifested it
Sheamus,
via the podcast.
Exactly. Beat Sheamus last week. And then this week, Sheamus was. You know, giving it the bit. Good promo, to be fair. Lost on a lot of Americans. He said, I got hit for six last week. Cricket bat reference. Lovely
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, I like it.
And then Pete...
Just like all our references to Duncan Fernley.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
Merchandise.
This doesn't get picked up in America. What's the fucking point?
Go.
Pete Dunne, bat to the back of Sheamus.
He's on fire.
Could we have a bat on a pole match? Could we have a... I mean, yeah, Sheamus is definitely in a sticky wicket at the moment.
Oh, you thought that last night.
No, it's just that's
it's very good. It's very good. Yeah.
Put me in the machine guns.
So what could it be? Could it go into a British sports memorabilia match?
What do they do with the Heritage Cup in NXT? It's like a two, like, do you think they go
So traditionally the Heritage Cup is a rounds match.
Right, yeah.
Five rounds, 3 minutes per round.
Yeah.
Best two out of three falls.
Got you.
Pinfall or submission.
It was just quite interesting because in Sheamus's promo, he said, this isn't going to become
like
a British versus Irish thing, but this is a British versus Irish thing. So I wonder if they're going to go down that route.
Yeah. We could have some kind of... the problem with the Heritage Cup is it's more designed for pure wrestling, whereas these two are going to... Want to lump
each other.
Yeah, they're going to want to
hack just
lumps
on Pete,
out of each other.
Isn't it great?
It's great.
It's
the best.
It's just wonderful, isn't
it? It's the best.
Yeah.
The boy from Birmingham is on the top of the card on Raw. He's wrestling against super mega superstars and he's battering him as well. It's exactly what we want to see.
And I think over the last couple of weeks, like I sort of, as a I think over the last couple of weeks, as a man who follows his career very closely, not as closely as you because he's your best mate. But I think the way he's developed, not developed, but portrayed his sort of microphone skills have sort of,
yeah.
I think, really come to the fore, which you know is always there. But like just delving into that Butch character and getting that across, you can just, even if you didn't like him, you can just really relate to that. And I really think we're on a sort of escalator that's just, they only go up. Well, they can come down. And he's on the up one at the moment.
He definitely is.
And
he's on that thing in like big Sainsbury's and big Tesco's.
The one in Morrison's that
yeah.
we go to.
Oh, the big Morrison's.
Yeah, yeah. And I just feel he's on such a good trajectory at the moment and it must be exciting.
It is. It's so exciting. And long may it continue.
Yeah. Do you think, we feel like it will.
Yeah. Bad Blood's coming up. Will they manage to get on that card?
But also the way it's been booked at the moment, it doesn't matter.
But this is what I'm saying. Also, as we're seeing with kind of like the Bronson Reed and Braun Strowman stuff, Raw is must-watch TV.
Mm. Well, he said, didn't he?
And
he was
SmackDown
like,
is must-watch TV, which obviously makes all of the pay-per-views or LPEs or PLEs, whatever the hell want to call them. It's a pay-per-view, right? You might not have to pay to view.
Yes.
But it's a pay-per-view.
I would pay to view.
I would. And still do. I think I do have... I think I do pay $9.99.
Yeah, I do.
For a network. They gave us a code.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe that ran out. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah,
my apologies. So will it escalate to Bad Blood? Arguably, who cares? Rory's must watch. SmackDown is must watch. It makes the pay-per-views must watch. WWE and professional wrestling is must watch right now. And so is Pete Dunne because of Dunne Watch.
And just on that, though, from an actual wrestling perspective, getting that behind-the-scenes thing, would you want to wrestle on a pay-per-view because do you still get more money for being on that pay-per-view?
I believe so.
Is that how
maybe
it works still?
Pay-per-view bonuses, yeah. Royal Rumble and WrestleMania are always kind of like the real big ones.
Right.
You get a nice chunk of change if you get to if you get selected for the Royal Rumble. A nice tasty chunk. And then obviously WrestleMania is just WrestleMania. But then again, I suppose when you get to that point, it was like, you know, when Pete was, we were at NXT and NXT UK and he was in the Rumble. Is it Houston or the one before? Houston, maybe 2018.
Yeah.
So he wasn't even on the main roster then. He got in the ring. So that's humongous, yeah. Massive. You know, and there's a lot of people obviously who have done that. But obviously, watching your mate come out in the Royal Rumble is pretty incredible. Whereas obviously now you're on the main roster, you know, the financial side of it is not really, well, I hope it's not as important because you are a WWE superstar. Your job is to get. It's his job, isn't it?
Yeah.
His job is to get as high up the card as you can. And if you high up the card, it means WrestleMania, it means pay-per-views, it means good buy rates, it means great merchandise, and it means your character is on the top of the list and the tip of every fan's tongue.
Love that. We did mention Bad Blood there. It's coming up 2 weeks on Saturday, last Saturday. You're away, but we are going to carry on with the podcast. But while you're here, sat in this lovely studio, surrounded by your fantastic merchandise.
Predictions,
yeah. I'm going to try and do this without looking at the phone. One, it'd be easier to do that. But two, this is quite fun. Not the main event. We've got Cody Rhodes. We're not even speaking about Cody and Roman Reigns' segment on the pitch.
Oh, my God. We'll do a separate section.
We'll redo predictions. On Friday, my Saturday morning, I wake up about 8 o'clock because I need to go for a run, but I also want to watch all this SmackDown. And I normally sometimes doing something in the background, but that 8 minutes of what the kids say, pure cinema. It was absolutely unbelievable. Never have I been so transfixed on 8 motor cars, a sports car, 2 people looking at each other in the eyes, just telling a story that needed to be told. It was great, wasn't it?
We're in the story era.
Yeah.
We're in the cinematic era.
We're in the Jack and Nori era.
We're in the Triple H era.
Yeah.
We're in the era of production. We have cameras that can film incredible things. We have drones that can get shots that we've never seen before. And we have wrestlers who are wrestling and performing on a level that has never been seen before. You add all that together, you add the glitz and the glamour and the excitement of a PLE or a pay-per-view, you add the WWE Championship into it. Oh, Paul Heyman produced, I believe,
yeah,
or directed.
Apparently Jeremy Borash.
Very, very talented young man.
It's just like if you put a load of chefs in the kitchen, they're going to cook something good up, aren't they?
Boys be cooking.
Yeah.
Mm.
It was just unbelievable, wasn't it? And it really...
It's incredible.
It sets the
it's
scene.
It's just lovely, man.
But it sets multiple scenes, doesn't it?
Yeah. That for me is, that's wrestling.
Yeah.
That is a real, that's wrestling. Yeah. That is. It's just so well done and so well filmed and with such high quality and every word meant something and... Like, you know, I'll go back to all of the wonderful promos and all of the wonderful vignettes that we all know and love. The My Way, WrestleMania 17, untouchable hype video. But we are venturing into a realm where maybe, just maybe, the culmination in Reigns, Cody Rhodes 3, I believe, could be one of the most well-produced segments and matches in the history of professional wrestling. Because if that one was anything to go, but...
I'm going to watch it when we finish this.
It's very, very, very good.
Very good.
Very, very, very good. And yeah, it's spine-tingling, it's goosebumpy, that's wrestling.
It is that's wrestling, isn't it? It makes you say that's wrestling. Hopefully we'll be saying that's wrestling at the end of Bad Blood.
Yes.
So you've gone
Liv. Should we do some predictions?
Yes, let's do some predictions. I believe in another life you said you're going for Liv Morgan. I'm going for Rhea Ripley.
How did you know that was what I was going to say?
But Dominic Mysterio might get out of that Shark Tank, mightn't he?
Slippery fella.
Speaking of Reigns, Cody Rhodes, they are signed a contract. They're going up against Jacob Fatu.
They've sworn to be best friends.
I would like to speak to you about Jacob Fatu in another episode.
Please do.
Because he is he is a beast.
Yes.
And very young, although he doesn't look it. No dig on your age.
Must have had a tough pipe around.
Exactly. He's teaming up with Solo Sikoa, the current tribal chief. Which way do you see it and why? I'll tell you which way I see it. I think the bloodline, the one which is currently Solo Sikoa and Jacob Fatu, are going to win.
I believe.
I think they need... Solo lost at SummerSlam. The Bloodline obviously have still got the tag team championships at the moment, but I just feel
here's the deal.
Go on.
What does it take for the Bloodline to defeat arguably the Dream Team?
Yeah, dissension between the Dream Team.
Right, it's going to take dissension, but they've sworn on the sweat and blood and tears of the Rhodes family that they will be friends.
Yeah,
that they will get the job done.
And with wrestling, you can always rely on your word, because that always that's the ultimate thing.
Because it's all we have.
Yeah,
it's all we have. So yeah, or will it be? Yeah, we know that things are going to go down. We're not stupid. We know. It's
but
about to go
so
down.
There's so much that can go down, isn't
it? But when it's a num, here's a conversation to have.
Go on.
When the numbers fall against arguably the greatest tag team ever put together.
Yeah.
How do they level out the numbers? Who? Well,
Kevin Owens, Randy
Who
Orton.
Who levels out the numbers?
But there's been sort of seeds planted that Kevin Owens is not happy with Cody Rhodes teaming up with Roman Reigns. So there's seeds all over. It's like a bloody farm.
It is.
It's like
it
Clarkson's is. Farm 4.
It is.
It's fucking seeds all over
it's
the place.
Pip seeds and everything all over the place. But
who do you see winning and why?
I think you're right.
Thank you.
I'm going to go with you, mate. I think the Bloodline are going to win this one. I think they need to finish this one strong. There's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of seeds. So let's see what grows.
Exactly. Love that. Damian Priest versus Finn Balor.
He likes that one. Niall specifically liked that one. He's literally spat his water out.
Damian Priest versus
You're so
Finn
impressed
Balor.
With that sign off. Go again.
Damian Priest versus Finn Balor.
Damian Priest?
Really?
Look at that. I did it automatically. Yeah. That's really weird. Singles match.
Yeah.
Once again, a lot of ins and outs, a lot of seeds, a lot of pips. Finn Balor.
Yeah, I think Finn Balor needs something. Like, he's been playing, he said it himself, almost second fiddle to Damian Priest in the Judgment Day.
To take his power back as the leader of the Judgment Day.
We still need that world heavyweight title run from Finn, which he really deserves.
It'll happen, don't you worry.
And he's there for the long
haul.
He's
a young, fit, energetic, little sprightly fella.
Yeah, he's a good lad. Big Spurs fan as well. Can't hold that against him.
He is a big Spurs fan.
We will finish the night inside hell in a cell with CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre. Firstly, it feels for the first time in a long time that a Hell in a Cell match, it feels like I used to when I was a kid, where it's like, shit, they're bringing the Hell in the Cell out.
Eat my goal.
Yeah. And it's the end of a feud that none of us saw it coming at the start of the year, but my word, it probably is feud of the year. We'll do some awards maybe later on.
I think we should do awards.
Yes, that would be lovely. Feud of the year will
we
be
have
up there.
We have to do awards.
Yeah. Who are you giving?
Independent Wrestler of the Year.
Yeah.
God knows who that's going to be.
He's done it again. Best wrestler from Wolverhampton
Best
this year.
Best wrestler from my specific home address.
He's done it again.
Oh, and it's Liz.
Who do you see winning? CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre.
Punk.
You bastard. How could you? Drew McIntyre.
I'm sorry, man. I'm predicting, I'm not praying.
Well, I'm praying, and I don't need to pray anymore, because DM Hunk, Drew McIntyre, is going to win that match, and he's going to put his sword...
Is he going to send him to hell?
He's going to send him to hell with the sword, and that'll be the end of it. And then he's
what
gonna,
if he stabs him and just chops his head off or something?
Well,
and everyone's like, whoa, that was really well done.
This is the
what
story
AI,
era.
Why did we use for that Triple H? And he goes, oh, no, we just killed him. Yeah. He just chops his head off. This is the story era.
Exactly.
This is the realism.
Well, they're saying it's a blood feud.
It is.
So
let's face facts. I feel crimson may be spilt.
Oh, goodness me.
I remember when the Undertaker sent Edge to hell.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Through the ring.
Through fiery pits of hell.
Yeah.
Obviously.
I get so nervous for these matches.
We can go back to 1998.
Yeah.
That's pre-Nile.
Yeah.
Right.
PN.
Let's go back to the PN era, right? Pre-Nile era. 1998, King of the Ring, Hell in a Cell. Not Hell in a Cell 1, Hell in a Cell 2, with Mick Foley as Mankind versus The Undertaker. Off the top, then through the top, then through the ring. No, he didn't go through the ring. That was the second one at Noma.
He did. He backdropped through the ring.
No, the backdrop through the ring was another one.
I thought it was the last
one. No. It was the February of the next year, I think.
Oh, the one against Triple H.
Yeah, it's No Way Out.
Yeah, yeah.
No Way Out. It was the No, would have been No Way Out. That's a great name.
It's No Way Out. Yeah, because the Royal Rumble was the street fight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh.
Anyway, focus. Who do you see winning? CM Punk.
So yeah,
and Blood.
There's a lot to live up to. Yeah, is what I'm saying is when you get put in the position of doing a Hell in a Cell match. Shane McMahon has done crazy things.
I mean, the last one that really caught my attention was Cody Rhodes versus Seth Rollins, but it wasn't really for the cell.
It was a bit more grit. Yeah, it was the arm.
The pectoral. Yeah,
it was the pectoral tear. It was very, very emotional. Very good. Very good. It's a very good scene.
Yeah, it just feels with these two, they need to be locked inside a Hell in a Cell to finish it.
Stuff's going
to
go down. But yeah, there's a lot to live up to now with Hell in a Cells. And, you know, we've seen some crazy, crazy stunts. Rikishi.
Yeah.
Right, that was a bad boy one. Threw that into the hay.
But no, it's all you're saying. It's from, and I'm the same as well. All the Hell in a Cell glory days, probably up to 2003, like Kevin Nash, Triple H, when that was pretty mental. Like
the Brock Lesnar one was pretty badass.
We have had some good ones.
I think was
is that
really,
when he
ripped
the ring up and stuff.
It's really mad. But yeah, what I'm saying is there's a lot to live up to when the steel door is closed and bolted shut. Hell happens in a cell.
Yeah.
Will it happen on top of the cell? Probably.
I'm excited. I've said it before. It's the Jeff Hardy anxiety that I get for those matches.
Yeah.
I just hope. Also, it's an 11 p.m. start time if you're watching in the UK, which is wonderful for us. So I think I'll stay up to watch it. So watching it live as well is just going to give me that.
Will it be done by what, 2?
Yeah. At least if I watch it not live, I know they're probably not dead because they wouldn't have shown it. So I just hope they both survive.
We can only hope.
Yes.
It is the story era, though.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
The reality era. It's the...
Blood cooking up.
Bad Blood is definitely cooking. There's going to be some bloodshed.
Yeah.
It's going to be a great night of professional wrestling action,
and,
as we obviously know.
We're going to go back to your diary in the coming weeks, but you're off on the road, aren't you? Where are you wrestling? Where can we see you?
I'm going to go to Toronto.
Toronto?
Yeah, I'm going to film some TV for Destiny.
Nice.
Because I am the Destiny World Champion.
I hope we see this again.
Alex Hammerstone.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. But don't worry, I've been training.
Oh, God.
I don't know if you've noticed. It's nice to be sat down behind here.
Yeah.
Kind of just looking after myself and doing some work. But he's a very big boy with some frightening maneuvers. But hopefully I can navigate it and come back with a shiny Destiny World
Championship. I want to see this again, all right?
I'll bring it by.
Thanks.
After that, who knows where I'll be?
Nice.
Professional wrestling is an exciting time.
Exactly. Maybe you'll have your own Trent transfer news. Who knows?
Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen?
Exactly. Thank you very much for listening. If you're listening on Spotify, please drop us a follow, rate us 5 stars and drop us a comment.
Please.
Get your questions in for Trent. They will be asked on the next podcast that we do in person. Anything else from you?
Stay tuned, because That's Wrestling is going to be something quite special, I believe. I feel like the last few weeks I've come closer to you, Will, and to you, Niall. And I'm so happy that I've eventually pulled my finger out and been coaxed into doing this, because I believe telling the story or telling my own little opinions of wrestling and giving you a bit of insight is exactly what needs to be happening in the wrestling podcast world. So let's carry on doing this. Let's carry on spilling some beans. Let's carry on seeing what's going on in the wrestling world, because that's wrestling.
Yep. Unfortunately, this was the last wrestling, but it's been very nice to get to know you, and we'll probably do some more in the future.
Kicked out.
No, we're absolutely buzzing. We need to book those Vegas flights. So let's go and do that now.
Let's get excited.
See ya.